Dr. William Luther Pierce, 2002, Senator Feinstein and Police Chief Parks.
Hello. The subject about which I have spoken with you more than any other is the destructive effect on our people and our civilization of the Jewish control of our mass media of news and entertainment. In nearly every broadcast, I've mentioned the damage done to us by Jewish media control. I don't talk about this subject so often because I want to bore you, but instead because it is the single most important fact of life today, the single gravest danger threatening our people, our future, our very existence. Overcoming this danger, breaking the Jewish stranglehold on our mass media, is the single most urgent and demanding task facing us as a people. That's why I keep talking about it. And I'm sure that many people believe that I overdo it, especially when I stress the fact that the destructive effects on our people and our society by the media are deliberate. They think that I'm going overboard when I point out that the overwhelming domination of our mass media by Jews is not a coincidence, when I point out that it didn't just happen, when I point out that the Jews have taken over our media through a deliberate, concerted effort, and that the purpose of their takeover is our destruction. This accusation of mine against the Jews seems too far-fetched to many people because they cannot imagine normal men behaving that way. They cannot imagine the sort of people they live with and work with and go to school with behaving like that or having those motivations. They cannot imagine their fellow Gentiles behaving that way. And when I tell them that the Jews are not like their fellow Gentiles, that the Jews really are different, they take that with a grain of salt. Many of them still believe that the only difference between us and the Jews is a religious difference. In fact, most Americans believe that, but the Jews certainly don't. I don't have time to get into this subject in depth today, but there are clues all around for the observant. Here's one clue. Geraldo Rivera, who is himself part of the Jewish media apparatus, although perhaps not as discreet a part as his fellow media Jews would prefer, thinks of his people as a race apart. He's been touring the Middle East recently, propagandizing for the war against Afghanistan and Israel's other enemies and potential enemies, and making comments. The Washington Post quoted him at length last week. He said, and I quote, "I have been a Zionist my entire life. I would die for Israel," end of quote. He then went on to criticize his fellow Jews for their carelessness in letting the whole world witness the campaign of genocide they are waging against the Palestinians. It gives the Israelis a bad image. It makes it more difficult for the media Jews in America to portray the Israelis as the good guys. He said, and again I quote, "You can't round up Palestinian young men and put numbers on their arms to make it easier to identify them. That reminds the world of what Hitler and the Nazi pigs inflicted on the Jewish race during the Second World War," end of quote. Did you catch that? The Jewish race. Those were Geraldo Rivera's words in the Washington Post of March 14th. Just one little slip of the tongue, but still a clue. Now I'll tell you about a more significant clue, which also was revealed last week. On March 13th, a subcommittee of the Judiciary Committee of the U.S. Senate, the Subcommittee on Technology and Terrorism, held public hearings on so-called narco-terrorism, which is to say, on the support of international terrorism through the trade in illegal drugs. California Senator Dianne Feinstein is the subcommittee chairman. She made the statement to the TV cameras and to the world in her capacity as a U.S. Senator and chairman of the Subcommittee on Technology and Terrorism, that Afghanistan's former Taliban government had financed international terrorism through the opium trade. They grew opium poppies, Feinstein said, in order to finance people like Osama bin Laden. Now, fortunately, we have stopped that particular branch of narco-terrorism. Now that is not only a lie, but it is the exact opposite of the truth. And Feinstein knew it. It was the Taliban government, destroyed by the Bush government at the insistence of Dianne Feinstein and her fellow Jews, that outlawed the production of opium in Afghanistan and ordered the poppy fields plowed under. They did this for religious reasons, as Islamic fundamentalists. It is the new gangster government of Afghanistan, installed by the Bush government at the insistence of Dianne Feinstein and her fellow Jews, that is replanting the poppy fields and starting up the opium trade again. Why did Feinstein deliberately turn the truth on its head like this? Well, for one thing, it is simply part of the Jews' propaganda campaign aimed at demonizing their enemies and everyone who stands in their way. That's why the media, in every story they print about me, always call me a hater. The Taliban government, despite all of its faults, was a government based on principles. In this case, the principles of the Quran, and therefore was considered dangerous by the Jews. They tolerate only corrupt governments, governments that can be bribed and intimidated and manipulated, like the present government in Washington, for example. Therefore, Feinstein accused the Taliban of producing opium in order to support international terrorism when she knew that to be the opposite of the truth. And the reason she made her false accusation so brazenly is that she knew her fellow Jews in the media would not contradict her. She knew that she could get away with it. And of course, the media Jews did let her get away with it. I saw and heard her make her accusation against the Taliban on CNN, and I am sure that the other networks also televised the Senate's narco-terrorism hearings. But no one in the media covering these hearings pointed out that the Jews had lied brazenly in accusing the Taliban of being involved in the opium poppy business. Well, I guess that's pretty trivial stuff. The big lie at the moment remains the claim that the September 11th attack had nothing to do with the U.S. government's support for Israel's genocide and aggression in the Middle East, that the attack came only because Osama bin Laden hates our freedom. But sometimes the little lies can be as revealing as the big ones. I'll tell you about another clue as to the Jews' motivations. My organization, the National Alliance, is committed to building alternative media for communicating with the public and countering the lies of the Jews' media. We use books and magazines and video and the internet and shortwave radio. We also use music produced by our Resistance Records affiliate. And just 2 months ago, we began producing and distributing video games. Our first video game, called Ethnic Cleansing, is about urban warfare between whites and non-whites. The number one bad guy in the game is the Jewish prime minister and war criminal, Ariel Sharon. The player wins if he can find Sharon's secret hideout in the depths of the New York subway system and kill him without being killed by a non-white. The purpose of the game is to get white kids to think in racial terms, to think in terms of their white identity and develop a feeling of solidarity with other whites. It is to help them overcome the sense of racial guilt and racial inferiority deliberately instilled in them by the propaganda of the Jewish media, and to teach them that they can fight back. Well, of course, all of that makes the game anathema to the Jewish media, and they have been screaming about it ever since we began distributing it in January. It's violent, they've been screaming. It'll incite white kids to commit hate crimes. You may have seen some of this commotion in the mass media yourself. The most powerful Jewish pressure group in America, the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rit, issued a special press release last month denouncing our game and calling it a danger to children. Really. If you play video games yourself and are familiar with some of the more popular games, then you immediately will recognize the hypocrisy in this Jewish response to our game. Nearly all video games are combat games. They're all violent. That is the nature of video games. One of the most popular video games now on the market is called Grand Theft Auto. It has sold more than 2 million copies since it came out 4 months ago. It's a cop killer game. It's ultra-violent. It gives the player a chance to be an auto thief and to machine gun policemen wholesale. It also gives the player a chance to have sex with prostitutes and then to kick them bloody afterward. The Anti-Defamation League never has expressed any concern about Grand Theft Auto. The Jews aren't worried about what it teaches the kids who play it. Stealing cars, killing cops, and beating up prostitutes is good, clean fun as far as the Anti-Defamation League and the Jewish media are concerned. No outrage, no denunciations, despite the fact that Grand Theft Auto has sold more than 100 times as many copies as our ethnic cleansing. Grand Theft Auto is available in video game stores all over the country. You have to order our game, Ethnic Cleansing, from Resistance Records because the game stores are afraid of it. They are afraid of the Jewish media. The Jews, in fact, have the video game business, like the other media, pretty much under their control. The trade association for video game makers is the Interactive Digital Software Association. The president of that trade association is a Mr. Lowenstein. Amazing, isn't it? Lowenstein. In response to the Anti-Defamation League's complaints about ethnic cleansing, Lowenstein issued a written statement. He wrote, and I quote, "The Interactive Digital Software Association finds these games," and he means ethnic cleansing, "abhorrent and condemns these kinds of sick efforts to abuse the wonderful technology of video games to peddle racist and anti-Semitic garbage." End of statement. To Mr. Lowenstein, Grand Theft Auto is an example of the wonderful technology of video games, and ethnic cleansing is garbage. My point here is that when Jewish organizations and the media say that they are concerned about exposing our kids to violence, they aren't. They're lying. When they say that they're concerned about teaching the wrong values to kids, they aren't. They're lying. Well, let me refine that statement. The Jews are concerned about some types of violence, not about stealing cars, machine gunning white policemen, and stomping women bloody. That sort of violence is all right. The sort of violence that sends them into a screaming frenzy is white people sticking up for themselves, white people fighting back. That's bad violence, so far as the Anti-Defamation League and the mass media and Mr. Lowenstein are concerned. And as for values, Grand Theft Auto teaches kids the same sort of values that Murray Rothstein's MTV does. It teaches them antisocial values. It teaches them alienation. From the Jewish viewpoint, that's good. Ethnic cleansing teaches white kids solidarity, white community, white self-respect, white self-defense. That's not good. Oh my goodness, no. The media do not approve of teaching kids those values. My point is that the media are, in fact, destructive of our values and our society and our civilization. My point is that the media, because they are dominated by Jews, work to advance the Jews' interests, not our interests, and their interests are opposed to ours. That's supremely important. That's the most important thing of which our people should be aware. And let me tell you something. The Jews are aware of it. Not just the big-shot media Jews and the Jews at the Anti-Defamation League. They all understand that they thrive only when we have been demoralized, alienated, and atomized. It's a tribal instinct for them. The thing they all fear most is our racial solidarity, our sense of racial consciousness, our willingness to stand together for the things that are important to us. And basically, that's why they prefer that young white Americans play games like Grand Theft Auto, and we want them to play ethnic cleansing instead. Their weapons against us are primarily their mass media of news and entertainment. At this time, our weapons for defending our people against them are primarily our own media. We in the National Alliance are working night and day to make our weapons more effective, to reach and move more of our people with our media, to counter the poison coming from their media. And I guess that we're having some success in that direction, judging by the uproar in the Jewish media about our new video game. Unfortunately, our problem is not just to catch up with the Jews in using mass media to communicate effectively with the public. The Jews are moving against our people on other fronts as well. They can see the gains that we're making with our media, and their aim is to head us off by outlawing all opposition to their media. They began a decade ago with so-called hate crimes. That was to get the public accustomed to the idea that people should be punished for what they think as well as for what they do when they commit an offense. Now they're pushing hard for speech crime legislation so that people can be punished whether they do anything or not. The general rationale they use is that as our society becomes more and more diverse and multicultural, we all have to be more careful what we say or write, lest we offend someone. If we offend someone, there may be a public disturbance, perhaps even a riot. If we want our society to be peaceful and prosperous, then we all should be careful what we say. We all should be careful not to say something that may offend a homosexual or a feminist or a Jew or a black or what have you. The real threats to a peaceful, prosperous society, they would have us believe, are the dissidents, the people who insist on expressing politically incorrect ideas or exposing politically inconvenient facts, the people who deliberately offend other people. They're as bad as terrorists. We need laws to protect society from them. We need speech crime laws, they tell us. That's their rationale. They're pushing it slowly and carefully. Every time they complain about something I've said or something I've published, they are careful to say, well, there's nothing we can do to stop him because of the First Amendment. And the implication is that it's too bad there's nothing they can do to stop me. There ought to be a way to stop me. After all, this is the 21st century, and we need new laws. The First Amendment was written more than 200 years ago by a bunch of dead white males who owned slaves. It's still around. It's still the law of the land. But it's about time to make some changes. At the very least, the police need to keep an eye on Pierce and other politically incorrect dissidents. That's exactly what Jewish pressure groups like the Anti-Defamation League are saying. And they're receiving at least implicit support from the whole Jewish community, not just from the media Jews. And these Jewish groups are doing more than just propagandizing for speech crime laws. One thing they're doing is pushing for what they call hate filters to be installed on the computers used by students in public schools and by library patrons in public libraries. These hate filters are pieces of software that block access to all websites that have been deemed politically incorrect. When such a piece of software has been installed on a computer, then the person using that computer cannot go to the National Alliance website and listen to one of my American Dissident Voices broadcasts or read the text of the broadcast. He can access only politically correct websites from the computer. And of course, it is the Anti-Defamation League that decides what is politically correct and what is not. The Anti-Defamation League has been having a frightening degree of success in persuading librarians and school administrators all over the country to lobotomize their computers with these Jewish hate filters. It's to protect the children from being exposed to hate, the Anti-Defamation League claims. And, of course, they get the politicians to back them up. What politician will dare to be against protecting children from hate? In fact, considering the terminal state of corruption of politics in America today, what politician will dare to stand up to the Anti-Defamation League on anything? And, as I have warned in earlier broadcasts, Jewish groups are infiltrating and corrupting law enforcement agencies all over America. They will tell you that it has nothing to do with corruption, of course, but it certainly does. The Anti-Defamation League, for example, has set up what it calls a Law Enforcement Agency Resource Network. The Anti-Defamation League offers to provide training to police personnel on how to recognize and deal with hate criminals and speech criminals. And police departments, most of which these days are headed by men who are much more politicians than policemen, will go along with the Jews. Bernard Parks, who is chief of the Los Angeles Police Department, one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the country, signed a formal agreement with the Anti-Defamation League last month. The Los Angeles Police Department and the Anti-Defamation League will share information in the effort to protect citizens from haters and terrorists. In connection with this agreement, the Los Angeles Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League announced, and I quote, "In the battle against haters, extremists, and those who seek to erode our democratic values and threaten our security, we are committed to providing law enforcement agencies with the resources and tools to augment their ongoing efforts. We have extensive resources available to law enforcement, including current and archival information, analysis, and programs." You can read that statement for yourself right on the ADL's website at adl.org. What the ADL doesn't mention is that much of its archival information was obtained illegally. I'm sure that Los Angeles Police Chief Bernard Parks is fully aware that the Los Angeles Office of the Anti-Defamation League was raided by police from his department with a search warrant in April 1993, and more than 12,000 stolen confidential police files on individuals were recovered. The impropriety of any sort of agreement or collaboration between the Los Angeles Police Department and the Anti-Defamation League is staggering. Chief Parks, like all too many of his colleagues, unfortunately, is a politician. He understands the impropriety of what he is doing by exchanging confidential information on citizens with the Anti-Defamation League. But, like Dianne Feinstein and her brazen claim that the Taliban was behind Afghanistan's opium trade, Chief Parks is sure that the news media will not call him to account for his arrangement with the Anti-Defamation League. Well, I'm sure that you can see where all of this is headed without my having to connect all of the dots for you. We are in an extremely dangerous situation. Our freedom is being stolen from us. We'd better start doing something about it. Thanks for being with me again today.